Welcome to IBBA Insights, providing expert advice on buying or selling small businesses. IBBA Insights is presented by the International Business Brokers Association, the world's largest nonprofit organization for those helping others sell or buy businesses. Now, here's your host, Crest Diglio.
Today, we'll be talking about one of the hottest trends in business brokerage, and that is the sale of online businesses. If you own an online business, you're going to want to listen to what our two experts have to say about what's important when you go to sell. And if you're a business broker who gets the call from a potential client wanting to sell their online business, you're going to want to listen and learn about things such as how to price an online business, how to determine if an online business is saleable, and so many other interesting facts. Today, we're so blessed to have two of the industry's top brokers who sell online businesses. I was thrilled that they both agreed to come on the show together and share their knowledge and insights. So we're certainly in for a treat. First, I'd like to introduce David Fairley, who's the president and founder of WebsitePropertys.com. His company specializes in selling online businesses between $100,000 and $100 million. In 1996, an adventure in Central America led to the start of business importing hammocks, which morphed into hammocks.com and his first foray online. David ultimately represented himself in the sale of the company after realizing that there was a lack of knowledge and experience in the new virtual business frontier. He went on to buy and build over 50 business websites, recognizing there was a need. It was not being represented in the marketplace. WebsitePropertys.com was born, and for 16 years, this company has worked with and sold well over 500 companies worth over $250 million in sales. David, welcome to the show today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yep, it's great to have you. Next, we have Joe Magnotti, CEO of Empire Flippers. Empire Flippers is an Inc. 5000 company. Empire Flippers has helped people buy and sell over $50 million worth of online businesses. In 2018 alone, his company did 273 deals, and already this year has completed 66 transactions. Joe has fine-tuned his process and team to ensure you have a safe, secure buying and selling experience. Joe has a background in engineering and spent the 90s at a startup in San Francisco before moving into the mortgage business. Joe now spends the majority of his time in Manila, Philippines. In his free times, he enjoys boxing, basketball, and playing poker. He mentioned that he goes by Joe and only his grandmother calls him Joseph. So, Joe, welcome to the show today.
Thanks a lot, Chris. Great to be here.
Well, I'm excited to have both you and David on the show. We're going to jump right in because there's so many questions I have to ask you guys, and we have so little time to do it. We could probably spend hours talking about this. So I briefly would like you both to tell us about how you got started in selling online businesses. Joe, I'll start with you. And then David, I'd love to hear from you also.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Chris. So we actually, me and my business partner got started in the online buying and selling in 2010, 2011. And it was born from need. We were creating our own sites and we were selling those sites on an auction platform, which will remain nameless. And, you know, we saw a real hole in the market there. We had some success, but people started coming to us and saying, hey, can you just sell directly? And, you know, we started selling directly from our own website at that point. And then sellers started coming to us and saying, hey, you guys get great multiples for your sites. You get high prices. We love your process. You know, if we can pass some sort of vetting process, would we be able to sell on your platform? And that was kind of the light bulb moment. And we renamed the company to Empire Flippers at that point. And since then, we've been putting together buyers and sellers. We don't create our own sites anymore. We only connect buyers and sellers through our marketplace.
Great. Appreciate that. David, how about you?
Well, as you mentioned in the introduction, I had been importing hammocks starting in the early 90s. And when the internet started coming together, I quickly jumped online, or tried to, around 1996. Operated the business for several years, ended up acquiring the domain name hammocks.com. And essentially was in the business for about 10 years total. When I came to selling in the early 2000s, 2001, I was looking for representation. I hired a couple of traditional brokers. They just didn't understand the fundamentals ultimately that I was dealing with, or the valuations of a digital business. And I ended up, as you said, representing myself, went through the pitfalls of doing that, and I ended up making a deal with a company that ended up taking the business to well over $1 billion by aggregating other independent and bolting on other different types of businesses. And so through that process and doing the same thing that Joe had done, essentially was representing a lot of my own sales businesses, and had people approach us as well that saw that we were doing that, needed representation, and it started from there informally and then grew into what is now Website Properties, and over 500 sales and $250 million in gross sales. I think that, as Joe's mentioned, that the what people run into, like I did, was that trying to represent yourself selling a business isn't quite as easy as one might think, and the auction process is a little bit more of a Wild West scenario. So it's really need that we've provided for these number of years has been essential for entrepreneurs that have built, you know, valuable businesses for themselves and these huge exits that they're trying to accomplish.
Well, certainly appreciate the background, gentlemen. Audience, as you can hear, we certainly have the two gurus in the industry, and you're going to get a lot of information today. But guys, in preparation for this show, I talked to quite a few business brokers, and I reached out to them about this topic and asked them what they would like to know, what they would think we'd like to cover, and what their clients might like to hear. So one of the top questions I received from all of the brokers, they want to know, what are the main differences in valuing and selling an online business compared to a traditional brick and mortar business? How do you price virtual assets? Are the multiples the same on online businesses as they are in traditional businesses, and what might sway them one way or another? David, this time I'm going to start with you, and then Joe, I certainly would like your input on it.
Okay, so the question about the difference between online and brick and mortar businesses, essentially, typically online businesses have lower overhead and are easier to start up. That's why they're so popular. There's a lot of the opportunity to have global sales versus local sales is obviously an essential detail. They're open 24/7. They can be located anywhere. Obviously, as you see, Joe's working out of the Philippines. There's a lot of internet entrepreneurs that are living the life working off a beach or up in the mountains. It's this makes these businesses a lot easier to sell as well, because they're easier to relocate. There's typically fewer employees. There's opportunities for drop shipping and using third-party warehouses. There's more, I think there's more targeted traffic and businesses like affiliate programs and social media and whatnot that can be utilized and send direct traffic to the site. So I think that those are some of the main benefits of differences between, I think, brick and mortar and online that I've experienced. I think it's just they're just easier to operate. Typically, fewer employees and lower overhead overall, and easier to, you know, relocate and sell ultimately. So I'll leave it over to Joe.
Yeah. So with everything that David mentioned, there are great positives about, you know, sort of the online world for sure. And I have to admit, while I've run some brick and mortar businesses, I've never brokered a brick and mortar business. So I may not be the best person to ask about this. But what I see, there's definitely two significant downsides, at least initially, that you see in a lot of the businesses out there. One, a lot of them don't come with like physical real estate or machinery. And that's unfortunately a downside of online businesses. And then two, a lot of them don't have the rich history that, you know, some of these offline businesses do. And for that reason, some people consider them to have a little bit of a lower multiple. But at the same time, you know, if you look at the scalability of some of these businesses, the fact that they can go nationwide or worldwide, the fact that they are expandable in many different directions in terms of marketing, in terms of sales, the right operator and the right buyer would be willing to pay a lot more for an online asset than some sort of brick and mortar local business. And I think that's what we're moving towards, and you're going to see more and more. I've seen, since I've been in the business, multiples go up every year for online businesses. And as long as the economy stays strong, I see that continue to go up and surpass offline businesses soon.
Joe, one of the things that was asked to me was the specific question, were the virtual assets, right? Pricing a virtual asset, and how do you do that in business brokerage, brick and mortar, right? We have formulas where we can determine the intangible value of a company beyond what their tangible assets are worth. But the key word that came up a lot to me were virtual assets. Can you explain what a virtual asset is and how do you price something like that?
Yeah, I mean, typically a virtual asset and things that we sell at Empire Flippers are only profitable, cash-flowing online businesses or websites. On the lower end, they're typically just a website that has a simple affiliate program or advertising setup that makes the operator money. It's that simple. On the high end, it could be a very good brand. Maybe they sell hammocks like what David was into, and you know they're very well known and they're the place to be online and perhaps even have a small offline location, whether that's retail or a warehouse. Maybe they don't even have a third-party logistics set up. So those are the kind of assets that we typically look at Empire Flippers. And I have a whole division set up, our vetting team, that works with pricing. And there are really two factors for pricing. One is the profit per month. And what we use is what we call SDE, or seller's discretionary earnings. And so I'm sure you guys are very familiar with that. It's just, you know, the earnings after paying yourself as the operator and any ad backs that may be, you know, kind of one-time expenses. And then we use a multiple. And the multiple can range anywhere from really as low as a year and a half, 18 months, to as much as, you know, 6 or 7 years, depending on how valuable the asset is. And there are a number of things that can change that multiple. We actually have a valuation tool that goes through that and tries to figure that out in a logical way. But it takes a team with experience to make sure that they have the pricing correct.
David, is there anything you'd like to add to that when it comes to the pricing of the virtual assets or virtual assets in general?
Yeah, I think that the other things that I would add is you have to look at some of the IP, the proprietary elements, the code, if there's any patents or trademarks or copyrights that are valuable. The domains are certainly, they're not as necessarily as highly valued as they used to be. So positive aspects there in the valuation. I think there's like the application of a multiple to the SDE, as Joe was saying, depends on largely on the financials and the growth trends, the year-over-year growth trends you have to look at. Is the financial history, if it's been growing for 3 or 4 or 5 years straight and it's growing 20% per year, you can usually push the multiple of that. So there's a process of going through and vetting the sellers and evaluating the appraisal of the business. Ultimately, it really depends. I think it's worth what someone's willing to pay for it. And the most compelling businesses with solid fundamentals and will focus on cash flows or performance, that's what's going to drive ultimately the final selling price.
So guys, we talked about from a valuing standpoint the difference between brick and mortar or traditional business to an online business or e-commerce type business. You know, buying a business in general is typically one of the riskiest investments anyone can make because of just the unknown, the transition, and all that goes involved. It's just risky. And it's a lot of hard work and energy and a lot of money that goes into it. But, you know, greater the risk, the greater the reward. Even more so with an online business. I'd like to ask you, David, and Joe, please chime in afterwards, but how do you guys vet an online business to determine if what they have is real?
That's a good question. I'll let Joe follow up with his process. What we find is the first thing is that once you've engaged a seller, they have to send you their documentation, and we will go through all their financials, their banking statements, merchant accounts. Usually, that's in that process. If someone's unorganized or is not legitimate, that's going to come out as usually pretty glaring. We do background checks on all our sellers as well now. We found that that's important to see if there's anything online that might come out negatively. That's another step. Ultimately, the onus is on the buyers to do proper due diligence. We certainly do our best to make sure that there's no one trying to use us as a screen. And again, that usually comes out in the process of putting together the detailed prospectus. So, Joe, I'll leave it to you.
Yeah, thanks a lot, David. No, I think that background checks are exceedingly important in today's online world. So that's really a good tip there. I think for us, you know, just like you would visit the offline location, you should visit the online location. And that means not only going in the front door and checking out the website, but also going in the back door. And if that means he has an Amazon Seller Central account or an affiliate account, you want to be able to go in there yourself, take screenshots, compare that to his P&L, compare his P&L to his taxes, compare all these numbers and all this documentation. And if the numbers don't add up, you know, that's something that you need to explore with the seller and make sure that there is an explanation for that. And sometimes there is, sometimes it's an accounting mistake, a bookkeeping mistake, and sometimes there's not. And when there's not, that's when we tend to say, you know, thank you, but no thank you. And about two-thirds of the businesses that come our way, we decide to not list at Empire Flippers.
Would you say, and David, I'll ask this question to you, what is your opinion on an online business compared to a brick-and-mortar business? Is it a riskier transaction or business to purchase, or there's risk involved in all type transactions when it comes to businesses?
Well, I think there's definitely risk in all transactions. I mean, there's no guarantees that a buyer is going to succeed like the original owners. But I think that it depends, of course, on a number of factors. I think I'm not familiar with selling brick and mortar businesses, but essentially, I think that there's usually larger degree of risk with default on real estate purchases. You've got that additional amount of capital that's involved for usually more employees. As I said, you know, an online business is going to be very healthy and strong as long as you do your due diligence on it. I think that there's going to be typically less investment needed for someone getting online. Depends on the scale, where the scale is. I mean, if someone's buying a seven-figure or eight-figure business online, of course, they're going to have increased risk. But I think that you have to review the historical attributes of the business. You have to look at the customer base and the average of the recurring income that's coming. I think that's an important factor to look at. Just the stability and longevity of the business is going to, you know, I think give people more peace of mind than and something that has less, this historical traction. There's a lot of things that can happen online with a lot of companies, for example, that work through, you know, Amazon FBA businesses or using Google AdWords. There's been a lot of disruption and a lot of destruction with online businesses in the past where these large platforms have changed their terms of services or updated things, and they've just, you know, of course, taken a huge hit. So there are aspects like that are moving pretty quick online that you have to be aware of. But that's being, I think, more and more mitigated by online entrepreneurs developing more channels to diversify where they're getting their customers and sales from.
Yep. So at the end of the day, it's buyer beware. And it's like that with any business that you buy online or the traditional type brick and mortar business. I think even more important with the online business, because they're becoming more and more relevant, right? And the transactions are happening more and more, and you get people representing these companies that, you know, they're just tapping into it. It's like in the state of Florida, to be a business broker, you have to have a real estate license. You go to real estate school, you do God's amount of hours, you know, countless number of hours on how to sell houses and be a real estate agent. It's like one page on business brokers, but now you're licensed to sell a business. Well, I would imagine you're going to see that, or you do see that in your world, that there are business brokers out there that say, hey, I can sell an online business. I mean, I had the opportunity 2 years ago. I sold a company called, it was the Oil Lady Aromatherapy, and I was successful in getting that done, but it was a little out of my league, and I learned a lot with that. So experts like Joe and David, it's important to do your research, because you only know what you know, and you don't know what you don't know, right? And it's hard to quantify what's going on in these businesses. So you want to reach out to experts like them so they can help you and assist you along the way. So Joe, in any business, there are trends, right? There, what's hot, what's not, what's going on. And the sales of businesses on the online world are increasing year after year. But are there any trends in the sale of online businesses? And maybe what are some of the top online businesses that buyers are looking for these days?
Yeah, well, a little bit about the history there. I mean, I would say in the early 2010s, it was a little more towards advertising and affiliate type businesses, content type businesses. And those still make up a very large of the lower end section of online businesses. You're talking about straight up affiliate businesses, you know, Best Baseball Bats. It's a review site for sports equipment, and there's really not much to it. You know, that grew into in kind of the mid teens into the Amazon businesses Dave was referring to earlier, especially Amazon FBA, which still is fairly hot. But you know, the sort of private label, garlic presses, because that there was a big course on garlic presses a few years ago, and a bunch of people created these sort of similar copycat sort of Amazon FBA businesses. And now what people are looking for is a real brand. People really want something that they can sink their teeth into, that they know is going to last beyond any sort of terms of service changes, any sort of changes that may happen. They want something that's multi-channel, that, you know, both makes its traffic from Google organic, maybe has some paid traffic, has some social media coming in. They want to make sure that it's a full spectrum and a real brand and something that people are going to want long-term and not a fad. And so you try to add all those things together, and that's the perfect sort of business. But those are the elements that people are looking for lately.
David, you see anything that's hot in the marketplace right now in the world of online businesses?
Definitely. I agree with Joe. I think the trend towards branding has been really important. That's what's driving, you know, greater valuations as well. You know, we're seeing a lot of diversification, multi-channel businesses that are developing, not just Amazon FBA, but they're going through all the other marketplaces and eBay and deriving sales through social media and stuff like that as well. I'm also seeing a trend towards now moving towards direct overseas fulfillment, actual sellers that are shipping direct from their Chinese manufacturers. That's an interesting trend that I've seen. There's certainly more automation coming with AI, heating up. I think there's going to be some interesting changes in that regard. There's also a lot of, I think, a move towards more personalization, for example, with customizing coupons, et cetera, that can drive customers to locations or pick up their preferences and shopping history and using that for suggestions to consumers. And there's a trend toward that. We're also seeing in industries, more deals in industries such as cannabis and blockchain in the last couple of years, so that which is an area that I'm quite interested in personally.
Yeah, it's forever changing, and the different things that you could sell online and where you're selling it to and how you're going to sell it, it's changing every day. And how you're doing it changes every day, and how the market changes every day. And it's really something that's new that you have to stay on top of, because if you don't, you know, one day you could be on top and the next day you're struggling to find out how to get back on top. I have time for two more questions, guys, and I want to touch on these things because they came across to me in the research that I did. It was very important. First, to the business brokers that are out there listening, I'll start with you, Joe. What advice would you give to business brokers who are looking to sell online businesses?
Yeah, I would say be careful what listings you take, obviously. I mean, I think that's good advice for business brokers in general, not just online. I would also say, you know, try not to be too specific in doing just one type of business, because if you become just the e-commerce place, the place to buy only e-commerce businesses, and that's the only kind of thing you do, if there's a trend away from e-commerce into service-based businesses and design-based businesses and more crypto-based businesses, whatever that might be, you're going to be like lost. And I think that, you know, trying to be a little bit more of a jack of all trades there makes a lot more sense in terms of your ability to broker more businesses.
David, any advice to business brokers looking to sell more online businesses?
Certainly, I think that the fundamentals are, you know, financially are largely the same. I think you have to, again, look for, you know, represent quality businesses that have solid underpinnings and good growth trends. And the other, touching on the other fundamentals, I think that the, you know, making sure that they're offering it in the online marketplaces where people are looking for businesses, obviously, and, you know, using keywords that sort of emphasize the specific niche or the business model, like Joe mentioned, is a good idea as well. It's certainly a burgeoning marketplace. There's certainly a lot more internet businesses maturing in the last number of years, and the numbers are increasing. So it's there's a lot of activity, and it's certainly a fascinating place to operate a business. So I've enjoyed it, the perspective and the insights that I've gained over the last 20 years meeting all these entrepreneurs that are doing incredible things online. And just it's I'm sure Joe would say the same thing. It's amazing what people come up with and create to build these businesses. It's fascinating.
Yeah, no, I think it's been a wild ride for me as well. I mean, if you had told me 10, 15 years ago that I'd be sitting here in the Philippines talking to two guys all over the world about selling online businesses, I would have told you you were crazy. And it's just given me the ability to really reach out and expand my network of just people I know and keep me interested in a lot of different things. So very happy with that.
I got to tell you guys, you both are class acts and probably are a little too nice. Let me tell you something. If you had asked me the question, what advice you want to give to business brokers who are looking to sell online businesses, first thing I would have said, refer them to two experts like yourself who know what the heck they're doing, because you're going to best serve the client. And even if it's getting involved with individuals like yourself and learning on the go, I tell that to new business brokers in the business all the time. You get in an industry and you're in over your head and you don't know what you're talking about, bring someone else on board. A certain percentage of a deal is better than nothing, because you're going to get nothing if you don't know what you're doing. You may get lucky, but the percentage of being able to succeed is much less. So you guys are being very nice, so I'm going to throw that in there. I'll be the bad guy, but it's not. It's great advice, because, you know what you're doing. You want to learn, that's fine, but work with an expert like yourselves. You know what the heck they're doing in that space. Last question for both of you. David, I'll start with you. What advice would you give to people who own online business who are going to one day look to sell them?
Okay, well, I think the number one thing is just to make sure that they keep good records. The biggest number one problem we find with sellers is that it's disorganized or their financials are messy. That's the first place. Just stay on top of your numbers. Have a bookkeeper, have an accountant to keep that in order. I think also develop and try to establish multiple different avenues for generating sales. I think that the building customer loyalty is super important, and getting recurring revenue from the customers is important. Developing and building the long-term value of these customers. That's what's going to demonstrate the longevity and stability of a company and offer ultimately a higher valuation. The emphasis on branding, creating an identity, being authentic is super important to quality buyers now. So I would say that as well. Don't try and follow the herd. Try and define yourself and stand out and focus on your
assets. That's great. Yeah. Great advice. Joe, what advice would you give?
Yeah, so those are all really great tactics. I mean, I say if I had one overriding thing to tell online sellers, it's sell before the retraction. And what I mean by that is online sellers especially, I'm sure it happens in the offline world too, but online especially, people tend to get bored. People tend to lose focus. And then all of a sudden, instead of their business growing or remaining steady, it starts to decline. And businesses that are in a retraction, they're sellable, but they're sellable at a much lower multiple. And if you really want to maximize the value of your business, you need to sell it while it's on the upswing. And if you feel that sort of emotional thing tying you down about your business, I would say you really need to consider selling before the retraction happens.
You know, Joe, I say that to business owners pretty much every day. Everyone wants to sell when they're on top. So I always ask them, I go, well, how do you know when you're on top? Truly at the top. You don't know that until you start going the other direction. And now all of a sudden, when you're going on the downward spiral, people aren't going to pay what your business is worth today. They're going to project out to the direction you're going to down, and they're going to make you all sorts of lowball offers with creative financing that benefits them, to where when you're on the up, you know, and you sell when you're on your way up, you know, you may not be at the very top, but you're going in the right direction, which will cause you to get higher multiples. So, you know, great advice. Look, gentlemen, thank you so much for taking us headfirst into the world of online businesses and the sale of online businesses. I know I certainly have a far better understanding thanks to the information you both shared today. Joe, I'd like to ask you, if someone's looking to sell their online business, how can they contact you?
Yeah, you can go to empireflippers.com, go in the upper right-hand corner and click on list your site and just follow directions from there. We have an online valuation tool that'll walk you through to some of the objective measures that we talked about during this podcast, and that will give you a valuation range of what your online business is worth.
Joe, thank you so much for being a guest on our show today. David, if someone's looking to sell their online business, how can they contact you?
They can go to websiteproperties.com and click on the seller button and follow the instructions and get in touch with us as well. That way, you can get by phone or email, and we can give them an immediate online or phone estimate appraisal. It's pretty quick, and be happy to help anyone that's interested in looking at what their website is worth this time.
Well, David, thank you again for taking time out and being a guest on the show today.
You know, thank you. Appreciate
you're welcome very much. Thank you so much, both of you guys. And I got to tell you, the people listening to the show today, I hope you got as much out of this as I did. I was excited to talk about this, hearing from two of the top guys in the industry. It's hard to get them both on the line at the same time, but they work their schedules to be at 6 a.m. and 9 o'clock at night on a Friday night for Joe. So, you know, it's so thankful for you guys taking the time out to do that. As always, I want to thank everyone for listening. If you enjoy our show, please share it on all your social media pages. For more information about our show, listen to past episodes, and to learn about future episodes, please visit the IBBA.org. Once again, I'm your host, Chris Diglio, and I want to personally thank you for listening